In the second reading of this Sunday's Mass for the second Sunday in Ordinary Time, we hear these words from St. Paul in the first letter to the Corinthians. Quote, "Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, because you have received him from God. You are not your own property. You have been bought and paid for." End of quote. I remember how startling those words were to me when I first heard them many years ago. Even now, they have a great power to remind me of two things. Firstly, that I belong to Christ. I am not just one of his admirers, but he has bought me with the price of his passion and death. I am his. I am meant to be his follower, not his admirer. Then, secondly, I am reminded that the body is not a thing, not an object, not an instrument. It is worthy of being bought and paid for because the body shares in the dignity of being in the image of God. It is a human body, not an animal body or insect body or reptile body, or even one of the bodies of the lower mammals. It is a human body because it is animated by a spiritual and immortal soul. Body and soul together make a human being in a union that is personal and unrepeatable. This body and this soul is meant to be in heaven for all eternity, sharing in the resurrection of the body and the life of the world to come. For all these reasons, it has always been Catholic teaching that we must take care of our bodies to keep in good health and fitness, and we must respect our bodies and not engage in any of the sexual immoralities that pervade our society. Likewise, we must show respect for the bodies of others. This was the pervading reason why, from the early centuries, the Church looked after the sick, the dying, those affected by plagues, epidemics, and pandemics. And out of this grew the health care, aged care, and palliative care systems that the Catholic Church runs today. In all ways that this respecting of the body is done means that we are following the natural law. Now the natural law seems to be denigrated somewhat, certainly in our society, sometimes within members of the Church too. The natural law means the natural ordering of creation that we know from our human reason and experience. It's like a code that has been woven into our DNA. Following the natural law is doing God's will, because that is the way God has designed and intends the human person to be. Being attentive to God's requirements of us, not tuning out or letting the voice of the world drown him out, is to be on the pathway of hearing God's call. Another way of saying that is to do God's will. In that lovely incident in Samuel's life, as we hear in the first reading, God was calling the boy in order to tell him something. But Samuel could not recognize the Lord's voice because he was not yet familiar with it. Yet Samuel had something which disposed him to listen to God's word once he discerned it. He had a humble and obedient heart. When he thought it was Eli who was calling him, he got out of bed at once and went to him. And being a boy, Samuel ran to Eli. We all need to develop that kind of heart to dispose ourselves to listen to what God is asking of us. And we develop that kind of heart by practicing it. That starts with our family and those who are regularly part of our lives. To respond quickly and eagerly to what is asked of us or to the needs of another person is to develop that way of acting that leads to our ability to hear God and our willingness to respond to Him. A person who does not help someone who they can see will not hear the quiet voice of God, whom they cannot see. If we get into this habit of serving, we would then be better disposed to hearing God calling to us in all sorts of ways. And then we would already have the habit of listening and acting at once. Look at St. Andrew and the other disciple in the Gospel. They didn't have a long discussion of the pros and cons about following Jesus. As soon as St. John the Baptist said those significant words, "Behold the Lamb of God," Andrew and his friend, whom scholars say is probably St. John, the writer of the Gospel, they follow Jesus immediately. And what is more, the next day Andrew brings his brother Simon to meet the Messiah. And we know Simon too follows Jesus. Such speed in doing this and such willingness to do it indicates that these three young men had the heart disposed to hear God's call and to do His holy will. What better prayer is there than, "Here am I, Lord, I come to do your will," as we said in today's psalm? What better desire is there than to want God's will? What better habit is there than always being ready to do God's will? I'm often asked how to know God's will. This is so particularly by those who are discerning the vocations of marriage, of holy orders, or of consecrated life. Those are moments of life-changing decisions. But in the general run of life, we know God's will in the duties and responsibilities that are ours because of our vocation or of our occupation. For example, it is God's will that a child at school learn and behave well, show obedience to her teachers, and be kind and charitable to her fellow students. I have discovered a very small but effective prayer that can be said each day, whether there are ordinary activities ahead or the big decisions of life. It is very short and takes 3 seconds. It comes from the devotion called Living in the Divine Will. Here it is. It's easy to memorize. Jesus, I surrender to you. Please take care of everything. Jesus, I surrender to you. Please take care of everything. Jesus, I surrender to you. Please take care of everything. I commend this prayer to you. May God bless you, your families, and your friends. Amen.